Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. I'm a concierge high-performance psychologist providing luxury-level support to executives, entrepreneurs, celebrities, and athletes. With me today, I have Stuart Wiggins. He's with Induna Advisors, where he offers fractional chief operating officer services and brings resources together to help scale your business. I have Rick Alcantara. He does public relations, digital marketing, and crisis communication at Rick Alcantara Consulting. And I have Kim Clark. She is a speaker and consultant helping communicators and content creators learn and apply diversity, equality, inclusion to engage leaders and employees. She is also the co-author of the Amazon bestseller, The Conscious Communicator. The question I have today, what are the benefits or risks of a leader putting their employees ahead of their customers?
I think a contrary position to that, because I think the risk is not putting your employees before your customers, because if the employees are not connected, if they don't understand the mission, they don't understand the goal, they don't understand what their role is in the company and how they fit into accomplishing the objectives of the organization is going to fail. If the company is just focused on the customer's always right and employees just are there as a function to deliver the product, and that's all that their value is to the organization, it's not going to work. The customer service is going to be down, productivity is going to be down, job satisfaction is going to be down, turnover is going to be high. So I think companies really need to focus on the value that employees bring to the organization, communicate with them on a frequent basis, reward achievement, and provide them the tools they need to do their job. And then if you do all those things, then you can start focusing externally. That's my view.
Okay. From a DEI communications perspective, the leaders are valuing the lived experience of their employees to create products and services for communities they are a part of, or they live in, or they're exposed to, which makes hiring more intentional because leaders are recognizing the business value of a diverse workforce. And they're going to hold their culture accountable to being inclusive to retain and grow these same people within their workforce. And they're also going to ensure compensation and performance are equitable. So for example, simple example, if someone is LGBTQ plus in customer care, they are incentivized to look for ways to apply DEI to their role, such as customer service greetings, like when people call in, and forms, when they fill out forms, are their pronouns, what's the flexibility for people to self-identify? That makes space for chosen names, pronouns. So you can fix the inside to serve the outside. So the risk, I have very low confidence in making the curb cut effect a real thing in that kind of a company, as most workplaces don't reflect the wide variety of customers they serve. Expecting the current workforce demographics in most companies within the US in particular, we lack diversity, especially at leadership levels. So we need to truly know what our broader set of customers need or want. Sure, I mean, there's customer feedback, there's marketing insights, et cetera, but it can only take you so far, which is one reason why we run into performative DEI efforts. And our priorities to make our website accessible or add captions to our videos get bumped much more easily if we don't have a personal stake in seeing the advantage, or no one on the team has any lived experience in needing accommodation. So it just kind of gets knocked off or knocked down the priority list. That's just one simple example. So when we leave people out, as in customers, we leave people out, as in employees. So again, back to my earlier comment of fix the inside to serve the outside.
So I agree with what both of you are saying. I look at it on balance. Why do we have to make a choice between the two?
Right.
Because essentially what it is, we have to take care of our employees. And I'll give you an example. Southwest Airlines, this past holiday season, it was a disaster. The customer-facing people were probably some of the lowest paid people within their organization, and they were expected to solve a problem that they probably were not prepared to do. They've had a little bit of training, but they were not positioned well to make decisions. So people were put off. I was in a meeting yesterday, spoke to someone who said they were trapped in an airport for probably 5 days because of Southwest's errors, because someone on the ground didn't have the ability to make a decision. So I'm going to suggest this. It has to be on balance. Yes, we have to take care of our employees. That's really, really important. But taking care is not just compensation, but it also means preparing them so that they understand what they're going to face. Because when things are going well, they're not getting phone calls. You know when they get phone calls? When things are not going well, and then they have to be prepared. In a corporate role I had, I used to tell the customer service department, when you guys get up in the morning, you need to understand that nobody's going to call you and say, thanks, great job. So the balance piece is, what can we do to satisfy the customer, keep that customer feeling as though they are our only customer, but prepare our employees so that they realize that they are as important, if not more important, in servicing the customer so that they don't get dragged through the mud at the end of the day because somebody's going to be dissatisfied. Teach them to solve the problem with one call.
There should be an equal balance between your care for your customer and your care for your employees. You're not going to be in business if you don't have customers. If they're not satisfied, they're going to go to your competitor. How are you fulfilling that objective? And really, it comes down to, what are your values? What's your mission? And it needs to be more than a plaque you put on the wall. Does your team embody that? And does your leaders kind of reinforce it throughout the organization? And if you do those things, you will have satisfied customers. You will have employees that enjoy working there and want to stay there. Mm-hmm.
I feel like the saying, the customer's always right, leads to employees being treated worse than customers are treated. And that leads to employees who don't want to do good customer service because they're not respected. They're not taken care of.
And a lot of employees don't necessarily have direct access to customers. So unless there's really strong communications within an organization, they actually are so distanced from the customer experience, regardless of what role they're in, unless they're in customer care answering those phones. So to them, they ought to be prioritized by leadership because we're all here and they don't have a relationship with the customer and don't really necessarily have impact if I'm in accounting. I've run so many internal communications teams. I can tell you that employees want to feel like they are first in order to be taken care of so they can take care of the customers.
Mm-hmm. It's the old saying, be, know, and do. And I mean that as a leader. That means be what you say, know what you say, and do what you say so that they can see it in action. It's one thing to communicate a bunch of hyperbole to those employees, but if you don't live it so they can see it, then they won't personify it as well. It's really important for the team to embrace it even more so once they see you live it. I used to listen in on customer service calls all the time because it was important to hear, this is cliche, hear the voice of the customer. I didn't want to hear the voice of the customer so much. I just wanted to hear what people were saying about us because as leaders, we walking around patting ourselves on the back, thinking we're doing the greatest job in the world because really all we're doing is looking at a P&L and the P&L says we're doing great. Well, maybe the P&L is not telling the whole story. That's why I think it's so important to be able to over-communicate with folks about what's going on. Teach them the economic literacy of the business so that they understand. Mm-hmm. Teach them what drives the organization and give them autonomy to service the customer. I've actually seen people get fired in organizations because they made a decision in favor of the customer. Why would you do that? You should actually embrace them because they made a decision to help a customer and save a customer instead of not just losing one, but probably many, many more because they're going to go tell people how badly they got treated by the organization. This is why I advocate one phone call, solve the problem. Nobody should ever have to say, can I speak to your supervisor?
Now, Stuart, when you were talking about Southwest, I think the challenge wasn't so much that the people on the ground didn't know a solution, is that they probably were not empowered to take action.
Right.
And so you have to decentralize that kind of decision-making process and empower the people on the front lines to actually engage and respond to those challenges. One of the interesting things about being in PR is that I actually get to sit kind of in the middle. I get to hear kind of what's going on in the marketplace. I get to hear what the customers are saying and what, you know, regulators are saying or whatever, being able to bring that information back into an organization and communicate it upwards. But I also get to hear what senior executives want to say and what they want to communicate out to their customers. And it's a fine balance, trying to make sure that everybody is kind of informed of what's going on and what the direction the organization is taking and why they're doing it.
I feel like it comes down to you have to be willing to trust your employees more than you fear your customer. And I think that a lot of people don't. They fear their customer so much they don't trust their employees to make a good decision.
That's your fault because you haven't trained them. You have not prepared them to face the customer. They make a bad decision and then they become the scapegoat.
Well, that is our 10 minutes. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And I look forward to speaking to each of you again very soon.